So once upon a time, you used to go to school, and if you were sick, your mom would call the office and say, hey, my kid is sick. And the office would say, okay. And that was the end of it. But here in Utah, and Utah is just an example, this goes on throughout the country, the legislative session is starting and the legislature gets to make the laws. And as part of their laws this session, they're going to be talking about improvements, if we want to say that, to the attendance policy. And so today I have a guest with me, Autumn Cook, who has experienced these kinds of attendance policies when she lived in Nebraska.
The Family Freedom Podcast, voices of family and freedom. Now here's your host, Wendy Hart.
Welcome, Autumn.
Hi, it's good to be here.
Tell me a little bit about you and how you got involved in paying attention to attendance law in Nebraska.
Sure. So I was living in Nebraska in 2010 when a friend of mine, it was 2011. The law was passed in 2010, but I was living there in 2011 when a friend of mine told me about a local school board meeting she'd gone to where they had discussed a recent state law that had been passed regarding attendance. And it raised some red flags for us. So we looked into it and found that the state had passed a law that said that any student who missed 20 days of school had to be reported to the county attorney, and then they were given intervention plans that they had to follow. And so we were really concerned about what this could mean, because there was no distinction between excused and unexcused. It was just a flat out number.
So it was just, you could be sick for 20 days and then you're going to the county attorney.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And if they report you to the county attorney, what does that mean? Are we talking taking kids away?
In some cases, yes, students were or families were threatened with the removal of their children because of absences. But in most cases, they were kind of egregious intervention plans that involved interacting with, truly troubled children and other ridiculous things. I'm happy to tell some of those stories if you're interested.
I would love to hear them.
Okay, so some people might say, well, 20 days of school is a lot to miss. And yeah, it is a lot to miss. Mm-hmm. But there's, when you make it a blanket number rather than distinguishing between excused and unexcused absences, in other words, between truancy and absenteeism, that's the distinction there, you end up creating burdens for families with chronically ill children or families with high achievers, say those who are involved in dance or music or athletics outside of the school structure. And also families that maybe deal with multiple family tragedies in a year. If you had, say, a couple of funerals and an extended illness, then that family has their burden increased by the state policy, right? So, for example, there was a girl named Kylie Jackson who was kind of more prone to illness than some. You know, some children are more healthy and some a little more sickly. And mm-hmm. she tended to be prone to illness and sometimes some bullying at school. So occasionally her mother would give her a mental health day, a break from the bullying at school. And so she'd racked up a number of days of absence, but then her mom had the opportunity to take her to the space shuttle launch in February of 2011. And so, of course, they went. Before they went, she got all of her assignments. When she came home, she turned them all in. And that was great, but this new law had been implemented. And so she was contacted saying, you only have so many days more to miss before we send you to law enforcement. In the fall, then, she was sick for a couple days at the beginning of school, and then her sister had a destination wedding in October. She had to miss her sister's wedding because she was being threatened with prosecution if she went to the wedding. Now, she had good grades. She was a good student, but this blanket, you can't be absent no matter the reason, impacted her family that way. And then there were a number of families who basically had to homeschool their children because they were chronically ill, and the state policy was making it so that they were being threatened with their child being removed because they were sick and they were allowing them to stay home and rest. And I've got a couple stories on that. You want to hear those ones?
I do.
it's really hard to choose from among the stories because there are so many that just made your jaw drop. There was a family who had a middle school age daughter who was an honor roll student, and she served on student council, just a great kid. But she had seasonal allergies. And so in the fall, she missed 20 days because she had these allergies that kept her in bed at home. She was in a county that was particularly aggressive at enforcing this. And they put her in what they called a truancy diversion program. Now, mind you, every single absence was due to being ill. but they put her in truancy diversion. And her mother was furious because she was with some really troubled youth, mm-hmm. And being exposed to conversations and behaviors that were not, you know, what they do in their family and with her friends. And so her mother was furious, but she was powerless. And so in order to be released from the program and to make sure that they never fell into the system again, they started sending their daughter to school with migraines. And so it was obviously difficult for her to function in that situation, but the state had made it clear that the alternative was less desirable than sitting in school with migraines. Oh, and then another one that just broke our heart was 13-year-old Maddie Chambers, who when she was 11, she was diagnosed with chronic severe sinus problems, and they had to do an operation. They removed over 100 nasal polyps.
Oh, my goodness.
And she had severe allergies and just a series of medical difficulties. And when she was kicked into the diversion program, sent to law enforcement, ended up at the county attorney with all these other kids sitting in the courtroom as they come up and have to talk to the representative of the county attorney. She just cried like to her mom, "What did I do wrong?" She's a really sweet, obedient girl who wants to please, good kids. So their solution was they would send her to school when she was sick, and she would take naps in her teacher's room. And so essentially she was being cared for by the school nurse instead of by her mother, who was a stay-at-home mom, because the state needed her in the school.
In the building.
In the building, yeah.
She didn't have to actually learn anything while she was there, but she had to physically be in the present.
Yeah.
And somehow that's better than being at home.
Yeah. Yeah, the illness stories were just horrible. There was another girl who had gotten meningitis at the beginning of the year, and then she got a couple bouts of strep, and then tonsillitis, and then she got a concussion. It was just one of those unusual years that, wow, can so much happen in 1 year? Well, it did. Well, and then this state came after him, and she actually, this middle school daughter, was threatened by a social worker when she came in obviously sick and in pain and having trouble, that if you go home, we're going to take you to court.
Oh.
And so, I mean, I think Nebraska was an extreme law, but we have to keep in mind that there are organizations such as national organizations, such as Attendance Works, which are pushing policies to reduce all absences, not just truancy, but all absences. And Attendance Works held up Nebraska's law as a model law. That's very concerning.
That is.
When we start to go the same direction, even if for now it's much milder.
Right. Absolutely. Well, now you've mentioned the difference between truancy, or you've alluded to the difference between truancy and chronic absenteeism. Do you want to tell me a little bit, how do you define those, and why is that important?
Sure. It's hugely important. It is the crux of this issue. Truancy is being absent from school without your parents' permission. That means you're skipping school. You're playing video games in your PJs. You're spray painting under the bridge.
I went to the beach.
Yeah, exactly. I decided to go to the beach. I decided to take... You're skipping school. That's truancy. Absenteeism is being absent in any way, shape, or form. And so states have traditionally tracked truancy, and that's appropriate. You want to assist a parent in making sure that their child is where they're supposed to be and where their parent expects them to be.
Mm-hmm.
When you shift from truancy to absenteeism, you end up essentially discounting a parent's authority or rejecting a parent's authority to make decisions about where their child should be, because you, as a state, say it doesn't matter the reason they're absent. We want them here, and consequently, you must alter your family decisions to make sure they're here when we want them here.
So that the state is basically saying there's no valid excuse for a parent to say, my kid needs to stay home.
Right. If you're just counting flat out absences and not distinguishing between excused and unexcused.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's truly terrifying.
it's really concerning. And I don't think most legislators want to do that. I think most legislators recognize that it's important to honor parents' rights in this area, and that any harm that might be done by giving more leeway there is much less than the harm that's done by usurping that authority from the parents.
Yeah. Well, and my sister ran into this similar sort of problem in Indiana, where she took her daughter, who was in first grade, out for an extended, I think it was a 50th wedding anniversary for her in-laws. They flew across the country. She got to go to the Monterey Bay Aquarium, had all kinds of wonderful experiences. First grade, 6 years old. She was top of her class, doing great, had all of her homework done before they left the tarmac to leave. I mean, she was just that kind of kid. And they get back home and they've got a threatening email that we're going to report you to the county attorney if she continues to have absences. Mm-hmm. It was a similar sort of law in Indiana as well. And my sister talked to her legislators, and including the chief of staff for their secretary of education, as well as the then governor. And every one of them, when she explained what had happened, they were absolutely shocked and horrified by it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fortunately for them, they never had to go into the legalities of what, you know, these people that you're familiar with had to deal with.
Yeah.
But I don't, I think it's that classic unintended consequences. We want kids to be in school. We know that being educated is a good thing. And so let's make kids be involved. And so we're focusing on, maybe we're projecting that the only time that parents are going to have problems with this is if they're bad parents, right? Mm-hmm. Because you and I, we're going to make sure our kids are in school. And it's the ones that get caught in that net that are the problem. So tell me why it's acceptable, you know, because there are bad parents. Right? I mean,
they exist. They exist. They're few and far between.
I agree with that. I feel like too often we say that all, you know, oh, it's just, you know, a small subset. There are very few really bad parents.
Yeah.
So why is this not a good thing for helping them?
So what I'd say is there's no need to abrogate parental rights in order to protect children or help children from struggling families. So we don't help children by diminishing their parents' rights to make decisions for them. You know, lumping all absences together under the umbrella of absenteeism is essentially a statement of rejection of the idea that parents have the prerogative to make decisions about where their children should be. And it embraces the idea that the state should have authority over parents in that arena. And this isn't healthy in any way.
Parents don't know best.
That's right.
We're starting from a position of parents don't know best, mm-hmm. as opposed to saying parents do know best. And it's only in these small circumstances evidenced by behavior, right? We're projecting that you can't make that determination for your child before you've shown yourself to be unfit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically, we're subtly stating with bills that conflate truancy and absenteeism, that lump excuse and unexcused together, we're stating subtly that parents are unfit or dysfunctional to decide what is a good reason for their own child to miss school, and all without due process of law to prove that they should lose this right to begin with. So everybody recognizes that it's important for children to attend school regularly, right?
Right.
But bills like this begin to deprive parents of the right to decide when it is appropriate to do that. And it's particularly offensive to appeal to the good nature of the vast majority of parents by asking them to give up their own rights to make decision for their child in order to let the state have greater control over someone else's child. It's extremely offensive, but that's what we hear. And it's extremely bad policy to increase burdens on functional families in the name of what is called helping struggling families, right? So, I mean, by all means, we should find ways to mentor and strengthen and encourage struggling parents and students, but we have to work within the framework of honoring families and honoring parents' rights to excuse their children from school, whether we like their parenting style or not. Implementing policies that discourage and penalize all absences doesn't honor parents or families. It's just bad policy.
Right. Oh, absolutely. So here, you know, so let's take that example. Let's say that you excuse your kid for some reason, and I don't think that it's valid. Mm-hmm. how is it not good for me to take the state and say, but, you know, going to the beach, you know, maybe that's really not, you know, your kid's struggling. Maybe they're getting C's and D's and you took your kid to the beach. Mm-hmm. Why should the state not be able to come in and tell you you can't do that? If maybe everybody agrees that you shouldn't be going to the beach.
Because that is your child. And forgive me, I have a religious perspective, but God gave you that child to raise. And if you're not abusing that child, then you have the right to decide if a day at the beach is what's in their best interest.
and it might be.
It might be. I mean, it's kind of an extreme example, but it's funny you bring it up because when I was in ninth grade, I was in Ohio, and my parents took me out of school for 2 full weeks to go to Hawaii. Now, for the record, we only spent 3 hours at the beach that whole trip, and we still give my mother a hard time about it because we went for the 50th anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor with my grandfather, who was a Pearl Harbor survivor. And we spent 2 of the most educational weeks of my entire youth learning about history. We, you know, go and Colin Powell spoke and President Bush the First addressed the survivors at this event. We saw all these both patriotic historical scenes, but also the wild variety and nature of Hawaii, and we're educated in a whole different culture and climate and such. So I've had that experience where my parents took me out, and in those days, no big deal. I finished my homework before we left Ohio too. And when I came back, a couple teachers had me report on it. But that's a great example of how something like the law that they're trying to pass right now could have had a very negative effect on my family in making us go, oh, we want to do this, but we have to keep the trip to 5 days because you have to be back for school. What a loss that would have been for my education, my bonding with my grandparents, all of that.
Excellent points. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very, very good.
Do you mind if I talk just a little bit about the studies that show?
No, please do.
Absences are a problem.
Yeah, okay. because that's what we hear. You know, what every time that I've been in a presentation about attendance policy, they always make the statement that it's not just unexcused absences that are a problem. They say any absence at all. If you have chronic absenteeism, regardless of the reason, if the parent excuses you, if you go to Hawaii for 2 weeks for the 50th anniversary of Pearl Harbor, that you're destined to drop out, you're destined to fail. That's what the studies show. Now, you might be the exception, but everybody else out there, we can't allow you, Autumn Cook, to go to Pearl Harbor because everybody else out there is going to fail because it's absenteeism. It's not whether or not the parent approves.
Yeah. So, yes, I've seen that too. I've heard that too. But here's the problem. The national trend right now, which is being promoted by groups like Attendance Works and other organizations that want the state to crack down on school attendance. The trend is to look at all school absences as a whole without distinguishing between parent excused and unexcused. And what happens then is you lump them all together and it makes the excused kids look bad. So the sad part is that means that there's very little research that distinguishes between the two and actually shows the truth. The ones that I've been able to find, there's a study that was done by the National Center for School Engagement back in 2006 in Florida that showed very clearly that students who missed a lot of school, but all of their absence were excused, did not have any effect on their academic performance whatsoever.
Which is what you would expect.
What you would expect. You know, their parents are being accountable for where they are and what they're doing. Mm-hmm. No effect whatsoever. There was another study conducted by a researcher named John Gottfried, who found much the same, that if you broke them out and distinguished between excused and unexcused, the students who had a lot of absences, say 20, 25, but they were all excused by parents, had no effect on their academic performance. And there's another one, a doctoral dissertation that looked at whether the cumulative reading achievement for students with a high number of absences differed by whether they were excused or unexcused, and found that yes, indeed, if those absences were excused, their reading scores were not affected. So if you actually get into it and you break them out, the minimal research that's been done on it has found what reason would tell you, excused absences do not affect a student's academic performance.
Okay, say that again for everybody.
Excused absences don't have an effect on academic performance, and it's not fair to track all absences the same and for the state to yank the prerogative from the parents to decide why they should be able to be gone or not. You know, when I look at Utah's bill, for example, and it talks about school-approved activities are excused automatically, but a parent-approved activity isn't. You know, well, what about the rising violinist who performs with a non-school orchestra and travels for a week? are you going to start giving those students a hard time, or the dancer, or any number of examples of high achieving students who miss often? And often, you know, you have families who have the ability to travel, so they take their students. What better education is there than travel? Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff begins to be discouraged when you lump them all together.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit more. We're going to focus specifically on, really briefly, on Utah's bill that's coming up. This is House Bill 14, I believe it is.
I think it's Senate Bill 14.
Oh, Senate Bill 14.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so tell us a little bit about what your concerns are briefly and what people can do both.
I lied. You're right. It's House Bill.
House Bill.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Last session, they tried to pass something like this. That was SB 14. This year's 2020, it's HB 14. And it's sponsored by Representative Snow, but it came out of the Education Interim Committee. And so it's basically trying to, it's working to mush the definition of truancy into absenteeism. So it's really getting, as far as I can tell, it's really getting rid of the distinction between excused and unexcused, and really just trying to track all absences as if they're the same. And it's, they have a few provisions within it that do acknowledge parents' rights, and they give some local, like the local boards, the ability to
make exceptions,
have more liberal policies or more restrictive policies. But the concerning thing is that what is laid out in this bill does give a district's ability to take parents' rights, you know, to be more restrictive. And I don't think that the state should be promoting any policy that could lead to more oppressive, restrictive policies on families.
Well, and specifically because when you take parental rights away, if you just look at it from like a custody perspective, right, mm-hmm. you have to go to a court of law. You have to justify that, you know, I'm a negligent parent, and you have to show evidence of that. Mm-hmm. In this case, we're just assuming that I'm a negligent parent because my kid didn't show up.
Yeah, you could actually describe it that way.
So there is no due process. There is, you know, it's like saying you're a thief and I'm going to incarcerate you for being a thief, but there's no evidence and I don't get to go to court and say that I'm not a thief and show you why I didn't steal anything. Yeah. The assumption is that I'm guilty of being a bad parent if my kid is absent.
That's kind of how it starts to read, and that's how it feels, that everybody's looking at you going, you chose to let your child stay home from school. I don't think they were sick enough to stay home from school. I would have sent my child, therefore,
you're a bad parent.
You're a bad parent. Or you chose to let your child stay out because you wanted to take them to see their grandparents and they just saw them last month, and I think that was a bad reason. So you're a bad parent. I mean, it basically, it opens the door. This doesn't legalize you know, state-approved busybodies, but it certainly opens the door to them. It's very concerning.
Yeah, absolutely. So what can we do? What do people in Utah do? Why is this a concern nationally?
As with everything, talk to your representatives. Talk to your elected officials. Talk to others who might have influence. For example, if you know people on local school boards, let them know what you know. Do your research. But really, you know, share stories maybe of how these kinds of rules that lump excused and unexcused absences together and treat them all the same have affected your family or other families you know, either in Utah or in other states. But at the core of it is be confident in standing up to defend your right to parent your children, to say to the state, no, you can't tell me that I have to do a certain thing with my child in order to protect somebody else's child. That's not right. And so we have to be confident in explaining that this would have negative effects on families and increase burdens on families and weaken families' authority, mm-hmm. which isn't, I don't think, at all what anybody's looking for. But that's where it goes, as you can see, where it's played out in states where it's happened.
Absolutely. Well, one of my favorite quotes comes from a Utah Supreme Court justice who was writing about this actual aspect about freedom in America comes from the diversity of families and allowing parents the freedom to parent their children as they see fit. And he says in there that there's no sure way to get rid of that diversity and get rid of that freedom than to be focusing and terminating the rights of those parents who, this is what he says, quote, who contradict officially approved values. And this is my favorite part where he says, that are imposed by reformers empowered to determine what is in the best interest of someone else's child. Mm. It really is state level busybodies. You know, if I tell you what's in the best interest of your child, you would think I was an idiot. But but the state has the power and the authority to come in and tell you what they think is best. And it won't be in looking at your child as an individual. It will be looking at all children everywhere.
And data and statistics.
And data and statistics. Mm-hmm. And they won't look at your individual child who may have the allergies or, you know.
Mm-hmm. The unusual medical year or two grandparents die out of state.
Or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you, Autumn, for taking this time with me. And for those of you that are listening, we appreciate you taking this time with us and share this with your friends and neighbors, because when they run up against some crazy attendance policy, they'll be complaining to you one way or the other. So it's better to stop it before it starts. So anyway, thank you again. Join us next week on Voices for Family and Freedom.
This has been the Family Freedom Podcast with Wendy Hart. Follow this podcast, share with your friends and neighbors, and add to the Voices of Family and Freedom.